podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Oh, it's a goal. Who got the assist? Who got the assist?
Hi, everyone. So here we are again. The penultimate pod now as the season reaches its frantic climax. Who will win in the title race? Who will win out in the race for Europe? Who will win the battle to avoid the drop? Hang on, wait. I'm hearing all of these things have pretty much been decided already. Wow, okay. The final day drama is going to be stretched thinner than an average household's budget in the Cosy lives. Unbelievable. Anyway, let's soldier on. I'm back this week with Lucy, ahead of her final game week as an FPL manager, at least until 2024, if not ever. You all right?
I'm all right, thank you. I don't want to sound painfully British, but I'm very much enjoying the sunshine of recent days, which just means I'm bracing myself for the inevitable wet bank holiday that follows and a disappointing game week 38. But anyway, we are Who Got the Assist. You can find Tom on the main account at WGTA_FPL, and you can find me at Lucy Hynett. On the pod today, we'll be focusing on the final day of the season. With the help of some data, we'll be taking a trip down memory lane to final days of yesteryear. What can we expect from game week 38? And then we'll open up to some wider chat around the final week, including options for each position and what we think we're likely to do. We're recording on the evening of Monday the 22nd of May, hiding from Newcastle versus Leicester and Wilson's inevitable rank destroyer.
Yes, yes indeed. Can't wait to see how bad that goes. Anyway, no mini-league update this week and no market forces this week because we're so early on in the game week, really. But we will give a final update on the mini-league and yeah, market forces a big goodbye to for another year. Right, game week reviews. We both took the plunge on an extra move on top of the one we were discussing to get Bruno back in. Both went off for Alvarez. How are you getting on this week?
Well, as I said, it's going all right until Wilson turns up. I'm on 39-4 at the moment, which puts me on a tiny green arrow following last week's quite large red arrow. I did three moves, as you've just kind of mentioned. So I did have two free transfers, but I've done three. So I've gone from Watkins, Grealish and Trippier, who was a player that I thought might miss out. But again, because it's me, they have a yellow flag, but never miss the game. And they went out for Alvarez, Bruno and Lindelof for -4. Two of those three have obviously returned in the first half of the double game week. So looks all right, but it will all look pretty stupid when Newcastle inevitably come good tonight. As you can tell, I'm feeling chipper. How about you, Tom?
I'm just waiting for the punishment, really. Of 38-4 here to, well, I think you got one more point than me, but hey, that's by the by. Isaac and KDB to Alvarez and Bruno. Thinking about how I was going to get Bruno in last week, and I was thinking about Salah, et cetera, et cetera. And just came to the realisation, really, that selling Salah instead of selling KDB and having KDB for one game, it felt a bit circuitous and strange rather than just selling KDB, who's a single game weaker anyway, and so it's proved to Bruno, keeping Salah. But I kind of thought after doing that, yeah, I just want another ticket in the City lottery, I suppose. And seeing Isaac play so far on the left, and obviously there's an element of a hissy fit about it, but selling him kind of felt good. And I felt like, well, okay, well, we'll go for that and get another City attacker in. It sort of made sense. It was starting. And obviously since we lost against the Forest on Saturday, the whole team seems to have changed overnight. So yeah, I mean, it's okay. See how it goes. But Trippier tonight, I'm an 8 to play on top of that, 34 net. It's all right. It's bang on the safety score, but I think I'm into red arrow tonight after Wilson sets foot on the pitch and on top of a load of other people who've got Isaac as well. But yeah, everything's really changed, Lucy, since just in the space of 2 weeks. It was kind of, oh yeah, let's hope to get back in the top 10K. I hope to comfortably win my mini leagues. And now, thanks to Wilson, it's try to hang on to top spot, but I don't think I will be able to because so many people have Wilson, so many people had and captain Wilson that my leads have been wiped out and it's down to just luck now. And then top 30K would be good. I mean, it's quite a depressing turn of events. So same for you.
Yeah, so last week's red arrow, which was a green arrow until Wilson popped up in the closing stages, that's taken me just outside the top 50K. So really, my best possible outcome is that I get back inside, but I'm not very optimistic on that. I think Wilson's stinging a little bit because it feels like we just got on the wrong side of that 50-50. And we only did so because I think most people thought he wouldn't play as many minutes as he has. And that's caused just a lot of pain, really. So it's just one of those things where if you misread the minutes on a very good player, that very good player can punish you quite badly.
I don't know if it was misreading. It was just kind of, you know, if I think you said that offline earlier, that if someone had said, well, Wilson's going to start each of these three games, then the consideration for him over Isak would have just been innumerably different, really. And we'd all have got him. And it just felt such a savage 50-50, especially at this stage of the season, because those are points that are just impossible to make back now. Let's be honest, especially over Caps. Like Caps
he was
last week,
the big game to be made. Like we spoke last week, didn't we, about ways people could make up ground, or the previous week, ways people could make up ground. And it felt like Wilson captain was probably the last one that was left, just because it felt so obvious that people would captain Haaland this week. And then, well, I mean, I guess we'll be in the lap of the leak gods next week. But it felt like that was the obvious time to make ground. So if you lost ground at that point, I think it's now looking pretty set in stone, roughly where you'll be, unless something freaky was to happen with a few differentials.
Yeah, it's just such as I just every year I just feel like I'm at the wrong end of a savage 50-50. You know, like perhaps this is a season that's kind of happened, thinking, you know, Saka versus Salah or selling Mr. Martinelli for Odegaard. But I mean, really kind of big captaincy ones tend to happen to me sort of midway through the season or just getting towards the end when there's still sort of that element of hope that I've got a bit of time to make it all up. But nah, it just feels so brutal that it's happened now. And there's just no way of making that up. And all you're reduced to is just hoping that, as you say, a differential comes through. And you know, with our team so similar, you know, your differentials are down to either who you pick up for this week or someone like, you know, Dunk for me versus Estupiñán or De Gea saving a penalty versus Shaw. It's terrible. It really is. Anyway, on that happy note, let's move forward to looking at game week 38 historically. Now, I guess most people do think that there are more goals scored in game week 38. And it's one of these sort of crazy random days. And I did this last year as well, but I had to look through the past sort of 8 seasons and picked up the averages as well in terms of, you know, goals and clean sheets, just to get an idea whether there are in fact more goals and, you know, more action on the final day than other kind of normal weeks during the season. So over the last 8 seasons, on average on the final day, you see 34.1 goals. There are 20.2 home goals on average, 13.9 away goals on average, and about 4.2 clean sheets. So how does this measure up to just a normal week? I spoke to FPL Review about this last year, and we came up with an average of 15.5 home goals and 12.5 away goals per week, an average of 28 goals per week, plus about sort of 5 clean sheets. So that means, all in all, that there are about 21.8% more goals on the final day on average. So there's 28 on a normal week, 34 on an average game week 38. Across the board, and there are more home goals too. There's a 31% rise roughly. So 20-ish on the game week 38 should be the expected amount versus kind of 16 on the regular week. And clean sheets fall too. So a 16% fall from average expectation of about 5 to about 4. I mean, last year there was 2, which I'll come on to in a minute. In the past as well, there's a bit of a funk to the data because during the COVID times, the home advantage was obviously completely wiped out. But fans, I think, were allowed back in the stadium a couple of years ago on game week 38, I'm right in saying. Yeah, I think so. So that kind of still means that there is a bit of funk to the data, but it still shows that home is where the heart of the points is, really, when it comes to game week 38. And yeah, there are loads of goals, Lucy. I'm surely not surprising.
No, I'm not surprised. It is quite nice, though, isn't it, where you have these... I think football regularly gets itself into these kind of little narratives where you just assume things after a while. So it is quite nice to have the data that backs up the theory that there are more goals. And maybe that can kind of guide us with our transfer thoughts as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's just kind of opens itself up to max variance or max luck on the final day and just hoping to get in the right place, I guess, isn't it? To or getting that right person, but it's never really that person that you expect, is it?
No.
Who comes through? It's always kind of someone you've never looked
at. Someone completely mad. That will be the sense this year, and we'll all go, "Oh, why didn't we look at that guy? Now he's got his race and 3 bonus points." It's just one of those things. You just got to give yourself a good chance of being on them, I suppose, and having a bit of fun, I think, because you spend the whole of the rest of the season thinking about whether you'll want them the following week. Well, now you don't have to worry about it. So,
yeah, one and done. Cool. Let's have a look at memory lane then. It's just last year. It's one of those things where I sort of remember it and sort of don't, just because FPL is so sort of cyclical that new memories replace the old ones and they get
erased. I don't
remember
anything.
That's probably a good thing. It's probably just good for everyone's sort of self-esteem that you forget the past. Also, maybe means that you make the same mistakes over and over again.
Well, potentially. Yeah.
But hey, there we go. It's definition of insanity, according to that misattributed quote. Anyway, so game week 38 last year, there were 39 goals scored. It was the highest scoring final day in the last 8 years. 23 goals scored at home. And there were only 2 clean sheets. So goals flying in from all angles. Notable things, so in the top 10k, Son was the most owned and captain player, and he scored a brace. Kane and Kulusevski also racked up double-digit hauls as Spurs beat Norwich 5-0. Captain Kane, I was trying to be too clever, and Son obviously did the business and further just decimate my rank, which was lovely. Arsenal beat Everton 5-1 at home. There were 5 different scorers that day, illustrating the randomness that you can get. Callum Wilson scored a brace as Newcastle beat relegated Burnley 2-1 at Turf Moor. Salah was benched. I think a few people did captain him, but he still scored as Liverpool beat Wolves 3-1. And Mane scored in his final outing as a red. And finally, Man City beat Villa 3-2. It was a total B team. I think KDB was the only FPL relevant player, and he was only kind of owned by about 10% of the top 10K, if that. And so it's just one of those again, which just underlines that, yeah, you know, there's a few sort of big names there. But equally, it was such a high scoring week everywhere, and that things sort of, yeah, I think most people did okay. I think kind of looking at an average of about 80 points. Do you remember that last season at all? Or has it just kind of all disappeared?
No, it's all gone. It's quite healthy, I think. Mm. I think.
Yeah, I think it's healthy as well. I remember I bought in Vardy and Wissa last, for reasons I can't remember now, on the final day. I looked at my game week, you know, the season threads, and they appeared in my team on the final week. And I'm sure me and Harry would have been at the time. I'm sure I gave my reasons for that then. I'm sure it was very, very well, very good, because they both
very good, I'm sure.
Both scored me 16 points, so I mean, that's not bad. But I mean, yeah, it was for a hit, which we'll discuss later. Yeah. Next, 2020-21, 32 goal scores, 21 at home, 10 away. Spurs beat Leicester 4-2 away. That man Kane again, golden assist, and Gareth Bale scored a brace. It was the year when Chelsea were trying to cling on to third place, and they lost 2-1 away to Villa, but still got third place anyway, due to kind of just results elsewhere and those machinations on the final day. I can't remember exactly how, but hey, it happened. And I captained Kun Aguero for his final game, so he came off the bench. Scored a brace. Man City's 5-0 demolition of Everton. And Mane scored a brace at home versus Palace. Again, yeah, you know, we're really getting to the midst of time when we get to 2019-20. That's kind of the height of COVID. KDB, that was that year when KDB was 9.5, I think it was, and just destroyed everything in his path. They scored a brace as City demolished Norwich 5-0 at home. Jesse Lingard scored his first goal of the season for Manchester United in the 99th minute as versus Leicester, as Man United won 2-0. And that was the year when Bruno was truly Hernandez, who scored a penalty in that game. Heavily rotated Liverpool beat Newcastle 3-1, and yeah, a few other bits and pieces. But, you know, there's loads of different sort of notable results from the past. Palace 5-3 versus Bournemouth 2018-19. Cardiff beating United 2-0 at Old Trafford. Nathaniel Mendes-Lang making himself a Bluebird legend through a random brace. Yeah, one of those you should never remember. No one's ever remember anyway. Spurs 5-4 versus Leicester in 2017-18. Mahrez is a final game for the club. And you know, way back into the midst of time after that. But yeah, there's basically lots of randomness on the day. High variance in a single week, and you are kind of looking at results, like you know, the 5-4 I mentioned between Spurs and Leicester in 2017-18, 5-5 between West Brom and Man United on Fergie's final match springs to mind as well. But yeah, more goals on the table historically versus a normal week, and means that you know you're on the hunt to get lucky, aren't you, really?
Yeah, you're on the hunt to get lucky. You're putting seven attackers out because that's your best chance of doing so. You're hoping that your defenders can probably come up with some attacking points, probably, given that you know clean sheets are hard to find. I think normally on these final weeks, aside from obvious kind of good home fixtures, which is everything the data implies should be worth looking for, I would usually be looking at players that play for teams that have got something to play for. Now, as you covered at the beginning of the pod, we haven't actually got many of those left. It looks like the Champions League spots could be wrapped up midweek if things go certain ways. And we're really just looking at those three relegation threatened teams, Leicester, Everton and Leeds. Mm. I've been looking through those teams and I really can't see a lot going there. Vardy is still somehow more than 9 million. Barnes and Madison were both benched tonight, so that puts me off them a little bit. I'm a bit confused by that one because I think they're the two players that give you the best chance of getting something out of a game, but whatever, that's fine. And I think Everton Leeds just don't have obvious attackers to go after, especially now Bamford's injured. So I'm now going to flip the psychology on its head, and I was just kind of considering teams which might be kind of likely to have checked out and kind of gone on the beach, that have done their jobs for the year, for the season, and are kind of done. So I think one of the names that we'll probably discuss in more detail later being Eze. Obviously, Palace are playing a Forest team which confirmed safety last week. So do they maybe check out? Liverpool may not have Champions League to fight for by the time they play, but Southampton are dead and buried, so maybe there's opportunity for a rout there. So I've kind of tried to flip it that way and maybe see opportunities in the dead teams rather than the ones that are fighting, I think.
Yep, same. So I had Arsenal versus Wolves as another one. If you're talking about kind of teams yeah. who maybe have checked out, maybe Wolves have. Basically, it's all the home teams, effectively, that I'm particularly interested in. It's interesting that all three of the teams who have something to play for are all at home this week. I think I'm right in saying Leeds, Spurs, Everton, Bournemouth and Leicester, West Ham. Palace, Forest, I had United, Fulham, but I think most of us can be sorted there anyway.
And yeah, I only didn't mention it for that reason. Yeah.
Yeah. But the only game that I think maybe is a kind of, I think we're all going to discount it because we've all got free Brighton anyway. But I think that Villa Brighton game could well end up being like, you know, one of the ones that comes out of nowhere. You end up with the kind of that kind of 5-4 in, especially if you if you have a tired Brighton, you have Villa who are still performing very well in terms of the underlying numbers. I think that game could be quite an interesting one, actually. I'll come on to that later on. Good question from Dan, FPL Stats Dan. Are there any genuinely left field punts you're considering?
Given has how he listened to the pod before? Or?
Yeah, no, that's the thing. I think given how this year has gone, I think the answer is probably no. But maybe there will be a couple and that we will at least mention. Probably not going to be touching them with a barge hole, but you know what I mean. And maybe just give a kind of a one-week genie in a bottle. So defenders, midfielders and strikers who could be difference makers, but who would we possibly sort of nominate here? But I just don't think this year defenders particularly is somewhere you're going to be going. Like, it's no. Not worth it for a final transfer, is it? And you're really, really scraping the bottom of the barrel because we've pretty much all got Trent. Most of us have
yeah,
got
Trent. I was about to say the only exception would be if you didn't have Trent, then I'd probably put him as fairly high on my list. But yeah, assuming you do have Trent, then yeah, I can't see anyone.
No, so Castagna at Leicester maybe as an attacking fullback. I mean,
yeah, maybe
no one at Leeds. Everton like play.
Do you go for an Everton centre back hoping for a bullet header?
Oh god, I mean, imagine Michael Keane being your final day punt. I mean, that's disgraceful. That's
actually Tarkowski's really high on FPL reviews recommendations for my team. But yeah, carry on.
Oh dear. And Alex Moreno at Villa, maybe another one that you consider potentially. But yeah, it just doesn't, it feels like if you're in this, it's the only way I could imagine this being okay is if you've got like a midfield and you're kind of two forwards or three forwards are ones you're completely happy with. You've got one free transfer to use and you've got some piece of trash to get rid of, you know, or you don't fancy Estupiñán or something, then maybe that's kind of where you'd be, but I mean, it's really slim pickings. I mean, even if you look at, like, I mentioned Arsenal, Wolves, I mean, Tierney maybe, but Xhaka played left back last game, Ben White maybe, and Palace, there's no defensive sort of, there's no sort of Van Aanholt reincarnation. It's not particularly exciting. So, yeah, I mean, maybe it'd just be a case of doubling up with Robertson for Liverpool or something like that. I mean, that's, and even he's playing a more withdrawn role now. So it's just, it's not great, really, is it? Let's move swiftly on and move away from that. Midfield-wise, do we sort of, I'm sure there is more. So FPL Fran asks, is there any consideration for my old mate, Eze? I think I had him this season for one game. He did everything but score.
Oh, yeah, and then you immediately sold him and then he got something, didn't he?
Yeah. That's just the nature of the season for me. And he's actually scored the fifth most points in the last 6 weeks amongst midfielders. So, you know, he could be the punt to look at. And I guess if people have Grealish or something, you know, they might well have a midfield punt slot. The only thing I was thinking was that, say you've got, like, my midfield, so Salah, Bruno, Rashford to Brighton, I don't know where the space is to punt in midfield, really. And unless you're kind of daring to strike out a Brighton player and you're kind of thinking, oh, yeah, they're going to be knackered.
That's the only way. Yeah, that's exactly what I came, the conclusion I came to. As much as I would quite like to punt on Eze this week, I don't think I can. I don't think that Brighton players are a kind of obvious weak point or anything. And obviously they're quite highly owned. So if you misjudge it, you're in a lot of pain. And if you're like Tom and you think that that's going to be a high scoring game, you also don't want to do it for that reason. So yeah, I'm struggling to find a spot because I quite like Eze. I think you're very right in saying that it's if you've got a City player that has maybe not played the minutes you expected because City won the league so early, then maybe that's where you have an opportunity that others don't have. But I think given that they're decent fixtures for those popular players, I'm struggling to find a way to get him in.
Yeah. I mean, there are quite a few names in this sort of, in the midfield area, though, if you're not.
So they're quite like Odegaard as well.
Yeah, Odegaard, Trossard as well, that might come into consideration with Martinelli missing the rest of the season. And then things start to get, you know, a bit more sort of like, you know, McNeil at Everton. I can't wait for people to, somewhere on Twitter, someone's going to say this. McNeil is fourth for XGI amongst mids over the last six. I wonder why. I wonder what game was fueling that.
Yeah, I can't tell me how that happens.
Yeah, shocker. Demarai Gray as well, I think, could be a shout if he's fielded lone striker because Calvert-Lewin's also out.
Yeah.
Rodrigo at Leeds was also another one that came to mind. You know, and then kind of, you know, really kind of hoping that the likes of Jack Harris or something shows up. I also had Maddison there until he was benched tonight as a potential sort of pick, just because if they have something to play for, or even if they don't, he could be an interesting one. Utter speculation, of course, because we don't know how they're going to end up. Seventh for XGI last six, probably his last game for Leicester, I think it's fair to say, at home versus West Ham with their eye on something else. They probably won't rotate because they've got 10 days, I think it is, until Fiorentina. But that could be one that descends into a bit of a goal fest as well. So that could be, you know, maybe the one that I'd go for but I suppose now there's a bit of a spanner in the works, isn't there?
I think also bearing in mind that we're probably in a situation where people are going to be holding on for team leaks, it might be that there's a City midfielder that does come up either that you already own or that you could buy that you know is now going to start, so you think it's worth a punt.
Maybe you could fancy a bit of Foden on the day, but I'd sooner get an Arsenal midfielder in, frankly, than do that.
I don't really want to be waiting on the leaks for transfers.
Hence again, why you'd probably just be happy with an Arsenal midfielder, because okay, Odegaard, Saka, you know they're going to play, and it'd just be a case of kind of just is it Trossard? Well, probably is now. So yeah, probably right. Unless there's a rogue ESR or something that shows up, or a rogue Nelson. I don't know. Yeah, Odegaard or Saka would be where you go. Yeah, some names there, but not too many. I mean, yeah, we're really stretching. We're really sort of putting the boat out, aren't you? If you're kind of saying, yeah, I'm buying McNeil for a final day. Could happen. You could he could be your Mendes Lang. It's just one of those, isn't it? But I think the key area this season seems to be the kind of the striker punt slot. If you're kind of holding an Isak or like us holding an Alvarez, maybe that'd be where you go. With the final move you're going to be making. I'm not entirely sure where you stand with this, but I've kind of whistled it down to two. I don't Bamford got injured in the knee, so you know, looking at non-toe at Leeds, don't know what's happening at Leicester, no idea. Mate, Vardy still going somehow. Everton, if Calvert-Lewin isn't fit, you've got Mopay. No. So I've got it down to two, and number one, this is probably where I'm going to go, which is Gabriel Jesus. I feel like that game is a 3-0 waiting to happen. It's that sort of regulation 3-0 victory, I think, for final day for us against Wolves. Jesus has been a bit unlucky recently. He's the third most underperforming forward over the last 6 weeks. So I think he'll be my transfer in. But as I said earlier on, I've got a sneaky suspicion that Villa game and against Brighton may well go off. I think Watkins, I saw, is the most underperforming forward over the last 6 weeks, even if you exclude the penalty miss versus Liverpool. And so putting up the numbers, he just hasn't scored. And it's been very, very convenient that he hasn't scored because most of us have sold him relatively recently in FPL, which I think, again, would probably lead to diminished interest because people don't like to go back to a player they've sold. And I'll be doing the same, Magpie syndrome. Oh, Jesus, I haven't had him for quite a while. I'll get him. But yeah, I think it's between those two for me this week, which is, again, I guess sort of, you know, they're both at home, both have nothing to play for. But I mean, I think those games are probably going to herald the most goals. You've got Alvarez to get rid of. What are you thinking?
I may just... the difficulty I have is that I still have three strikers, so like three viables, but I mean, like, not, I haven't killed the spot, which means I can't actually stretch Jesus because the money's too spread. So at the moment, I've got Isak, who I've benched tonight, so that's going to go well. And then I've got Alvarez. So I've got kind of money, but I haven't got Jesus money, which makes life a bit more awkward. I was looking at going back to Watkins, as you mentioned it. And maybe I'm being compelled by your Villa Brighton goal fest suggestion.
It's just a prophecy, which is no doubt going to come completely false because of how things have been going recently.
Well, you know, it's better than most. This is going to sound a bit mad because I did also put them on my list for potentially checking out. But in terms of looking at games that could end up being goal fests, I kind of wondered if Palace Forest might turn out a bit weird. And in which case, maybe Awoniyi, just on the basis that he's been scoring a lot of points recently, you know, in the classic FPL analyst way, you know, man gets goals. But I'm really struggling, actually. I'd hoped that I'd get confidence to maybe punt on Iheanacho, which is a very not me transfer. But he started tonight, and if they were willing to play someone that wasn't, you know, just two strikers and a lot of defensive midfielders, I might have more faith there. I do. There is a little part of me that really just wants to punt on it, just because Leicester have to come up with something.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe, especially it'd be such a strain. Well, maybe you're kind of straight on to Sam Martin, aren't you? And just kind of for the first time this season, hoping for a Leicester league, which is I guess so. I mean, how much money you got to spend? Like,
what do you want? Why are you asking me?
Yeah. How much money you got to spend? Like, kind of must be, so not Jay-Z's money. So you're looking kind of seven-ish.
Let me just have a quick look. Just do some nice talking while I.
Yeah. Okay.
I've got 7.8.
It's always go for Callum Wilson. yeah.
The ultimate, like, insult to myself.
Yeah. Give up on it altogether. Yeah, that also rules out Liverpool strikers for you, doesn't it?
You know, I don't think I'd have gone there anyway, probably.
No, Mr. Jota. I can see why straight away. It's very kind of barrel scrapey, isn't it? It's not the best set of players there.
I'm
not
going back to Watkins, to be fair.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Watkins looks to stand out, and he's the underlying data's there for him. I was thinking about StatsDan's question about left field punts, suggesting Ollie Watkins is quite the opposite of that. But there you go. I'm really struggling looking at the list of strikers who cost less than 7.9.
Which may mean I make a midfield punt after all.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe you just kind of junk the spot, or just remove this kind of bench shit and just go for broke elsewhere. Maybe that's what you do. How much money would you have for a midfielder?
10 to 100k.
Yeah, I guess so.
I've got 0.9 in the bank.
So again, you're looking at the mid-range. I'd say probably be Arsenal or Eze, isn't it, really? If you're boiling it. Or, you know, there's always James Ward-Prowse's final appearance in the Premier League while you're an FPL manager, Lucy. I think that's the obvious option.
Don't
isn't
say it,
really?
Don't. No.
Final
don't.
Day at home, no. You know, it should be done. It's an emotive pick. You know, it makes sense. I think so.
Okay.
It makes more sense than Watkins anyway. Watkins is rubbish. It's boring. Just don't get him. I think you should get Ward-Prowse. That's definitely worth it. if that did go off, imagine. It's the only one from Saints you'd ever consider anyway. But hey, I mean, just a free kick is going to happen, I'm sure. Final home game, Premier League. No? You don't look convinced. Okay.
No, I'm not convinced.
I'm sure this is going to happen. All right, okay. Yeah, midfield Arsenal or Eze, and up front, Jesus or Watkins, it sounds like, is kind of where we go. And defence, just leave it, forget about it. Captain wise, do you dare go against Haaland? Because Brentford is such a nasty fixture for captaincy. Like, something about it makes me feel like they're going to be a thorny game anyway. Deepak asked us actually, best alternatives to Haaland. Is there any chance you might be rested? Well, I don't think so. I guess the EO would be with him, I'd imagine. So, I mean, would you ever consider going against it? Like, I think I'd go for Salah versus Southampton if it was.
Yeah, if you're looking for an alternative, I think it's Salah. If you really think, if you've convinced yourself he's going to be benched, then you could move him out for Kane, Leeds. But yeah, I think Salah, if given what, you know, who people will own already, I think Salah versus Southampton is the obvious captaincy pick if you don't want to go for Haaland. But I think you have to bear in mind that, as usual, Haaland's EO is going to be massive, so I probably wouldn't bother unless you're looking for a big chase.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those, isn't it, where you're weighing up the sort of semblance of the final day being a bit YOLO versus the fact that the real politique of the situation is Haaland's EO is going to be massive. But it's not the best game against Brentford. Salah versus Saints feels like one of those which makes it just feels like that could be more of the field day rather than a gnarly Brentford side. But you just don't know because it's the final day, you know. I think are you saying then that you just be on Haaland and you just forget about it effectively?
I think so.
Okay, I don't know. I might go for it. You know, just to, you know, if it's kind of the same sentiment as your five kind of 300k or 500k, I'm kind of 20k or 50k probably. I don't think it's going to make too much of a difference, really.
If Pastu could see you right now, he'd be disgusted.
No, he wouldn't, because that's exactly what he used to do every single week. That's why he ended up 300k. So,
okay, Pastu from earlier in the season.
Fine. But I think also past me was doing well and was quite happy with his life. So, you know, there you go. Obviously, personal life, fine. But, you know what I mean? Happy with his FPL life. I might end up kind of chancing my arm and seeing what happens, because it feels like kind of the captaincy, really, that I quite like to go for. Anyway, interesting. Nathan Jacobson, we've kind of covered this, but he remarks that there doesn't seem to be much to play for on the final day. Any FPL ramifications from that? I mean, it's just enhanced randomness, isn't it, really? Because we can't read the tea leaves on any motivation or anything along those lines.
Yeah, I haven't got anything else to add other than that, really. I think you're just trying to find something in something that isn't there, really.
Yeah.
The best I can do is the on the beach theory, because the playing for something there isn't. Playing for something isn't there, so
yeah. Oh, I'm playing for an extra place. This argument always gets wheeled out that, oh, but they get an extra £2 million if they finish one place higher. The
players league don't care about that, do they?
No,
I don't think. Maybe though, thinking of playing for a place though, it did make me think maybe there would be players potentially playing for moves, like potentially making the one to make a last stamp on the season.
Yeah, like James Ward-Prowse. No, he's
or James Maddison, I was also thinking.
But you know, James Ward-Prowse be playing for his
Stop feeding the James Ward-Prowse thing. I'm going to end up with James Ward-Prowse. And now I'm like, what have I done?
Oh, dear. But you're going down swinging in that case, aren't you? But no, that's also a fair point, isn't it? That players can be putting themselves in the shop window, and so on and so forth. Well, just that having that
Probably
emotive sort
left
of
it a
on the
bit
day.
late though, haven't you, for
I
the
know,
experience, so
yeah.
yeah.
But hey, no, people have been signed for hundreds of millions of pounds after playing well in three games in
The
the Middle
World Cup.
East. So
Yeah.
yeah, stranger things have happened. I think I saw like a bit of a movement for people saying, oh, it could be Kane's final day as a Spurs player. So, but I don't believe it. But those people
Not
saying, oh,
believe that. Do you think he'll stay?
I don't know. It's part of me feels like it's ha like I'll only believe it with my own eyes once he's signed in another shirt.
Yeah.
I just, yeah, if he goes to United as well, I think I'll lose a lot of respect for him. But that's probably just my own thing. Hey, there we go. Taking hits on the final day, any thoughts? I saw that our friend Late Riser was saying online earlier on that he's taken a hit at the end of the season of every single campaign since he can remember, and he always gets about 12, 15 points. I suppose that kind of links on to the leak thing, doesn't it, really? Because I think that will dictate what happens. So, Rohan, what is the chance that the FPL servers go down on Sundays? Everyone waits for leaks and makes transfers at the final moment. Two things there, but they're both kind of interlinked, aren't they?
Yes, they are. I think the leaks do give you less, reduce your risk on taking those hits, and I think potentially open up new opportunities you won't have considered. So I can see the temptation there. I'm normally terrible at the judging those kind of 1 week things. It's definitely a late riser thing, not a me thing. As for the servers and the leaks, I'd be shocked if the servers don't go down at some point. Given that we expect everyone to be waiting for a leak, and that obviously all teams playing at the same time, we will get some, even if they're not, what everyone's looking for. As for what I'm personally doing, I would consider it very likely that I will miss the leaks and the deadline. We're away for the bank holiday weekend in a fairly rural area, so I don't even know if I'll have signal, with friends who aren't especially into football, so I won't be very popular. So if I do get the chance to check my phone, I probably will try and find something out, but there's a high risk that I won't be able to, and I'm not in a position where I'm like I don't think it's
Bother,
worthwhile
yeah,
that ruining.
bother, just not
Yeah,
bothered,
I'm just not that bothered. That's
basically.
exactly that is fundamentally what it is. I'll probably just look at my watch and go, oh yeah, the deadline was about half an hour ago. I wonder what
Yeah,
happened.
I'm not looking forward to being a schmuck on the final day, sat there just frantically refreshing and waiting for some child man to or man child, I should say, to produce
Take
some
the
sort of
horrible
terrible,
video.
some sort of leak
Yeah.
theory video. Oh, it's going to be horrendous. And then, so I think what I'll do is I'll probably make one move early on, like just on Friday, on Saturday. I'll do like a Jesus move that day. And then if I need to take a hit on the day to do something else, I think my bench is a bit crap. I think it's Botman and Henry, then maybe I will. But I think it's very much down to that. And I don't really want to be, be one of those people who's kind of contingent on making a move. I think it's a 3 o'clock deadline, so making a move at 2:55, when especially because all of the teams are playing, there's going to be so much kind of attention on it, and I suspect you'll see loads of people logging on to the FPL website for the first time in a long time, to just kind of get the best team they possibly can in the final week. People, but casual players playing their wild cards, so things like that, just loads and loads more server load. I expect it to be an absolute shit show.
Yeah, I think people should have a team that they're happy to play and hope that they can get on.
And maybe the only thing would be is if that you find out that Haaland isn't playing, then I think that would lead to a stampede, honestly. I think that would be terrible, and that would be the server going down straight away. So again, it might be why I just kind of leave it on Salah and just forget about it. Then hey, Salah could not play on the final day, as we've seen. Two final game weeks in the last 3 years. So yeah, need to see. How do you expect the final game week to go? Sounds like you won't even be watching.
No,
Should
but I probably won't.
be looking at fields somewhere.
Yeah, fields and beer and barbecues. That's the plan.
No, that sounds very good. I think I've actually got a few. I'm not going to be able to go to the FPL meets just because of childcare, obviously. But I think I'll actually have a few hours to myself because she's going out. They're both going out with my other half sister, so that her boys can meet the baby for the first time. So I've kind of strategically planned it, but they're out from kind of 2 till about 5, 6. So
Nice.
so I can just have a bit of time and watch football and maybe have a beer or two. Yeah, that's just, I think it's very much in the lap of FPL gods. What happens, how it happens, and God knows what. So yeah, I'm excited for it. I'm excited for the season to be over a little bit, unfortunately. It's felt uniquely draining, as we'll discuss next week. But yeah, it's always a goal fest. At least it has been for the last 8 years. I'm sure it will be again. Transfers and captains for the final time. I think we've really kind of discussed it anyway. But yeah, Jesus in for Alvarez, likely for me. And between Salah and Haaland, I think that...
You're talking me around on Salah now.
Depending on how this week goes, I think that, yeah, unless I'm re-looking at De Gea saving two penalties and Dunk scoring two bullet headers against Man City for me to be in consolidation mode. Like, it's really going to have to be, I'm going to need a jump, and captain is going to be the jump. So it may well be that Salah is the player that I go with. But yeah, we'll see. And you were on Haaland, now you're not sure, and you're not sure about your transfers yet.
Yeah, that's, I'm not really sure about anything. I'm not really sure whether I'll see the deadline. Not really sure if I'll see the games. Really, there's a lot of mentally checking out here, which isn't really helping the production of the pod.
That's all right. Quiet quitting is the name of the game. Well, I think that's on that happy note. We'll be back a bit later next week for the final show of the season. If you tend to stop listening after this point, I don't blame you. Thank you. You've been a wonderful audience, and maybe speak to you next year.
Oh, maybe. Obviously, you won't hear from me, but it's been lovely recording. I'll save my thank yous and goodbyes for next week. But yeah, thanks for listening, everyone. We were Who Got the Assist. You can find Tom on Twitter at WGTA_FPL, and you can find me at Lucy Heinick with two T's.
So yeah, that's it for the penultimate pods. So enjoy the rest of Double Game Week 37, but not too much Wilson owners, and the final day. And we'll be back sometime next week after the bank holiday to cry into our beer and sign off for the summer. Great. Take care. Speak to you soon.
Oh, it's a goal. Who got the assist? Who got the assist?
Sports Social Podcast Network.